Welcome to CFO.University's audio version of Robert Baker's CFO Ed Talk, the link between leadership and sustainable success. Robert invites you to learn how to build long-term sustainable success and a team that everyone will want to join. Enjoy, learn, engage.
I'd like to invite you all to join a hypothetical team, but I got to warn you, we're not doing so great. We work 10, 12 hours a day, sometimes 6 or 7 days a week, but we're not hitting any of our goals. In fact, relationships are breaking down. There's lots of blame going all around and morale's at an all-time low. Is that a team that you want to join? Do you want to join a team that's not complete, that's not empowered, that doesn't have a clear communicated strategy? No communication of results, and certainly nobody celebrating success? No, I didn't think so. See, I believe that all people want to win, but it's not about beating the competition. It's about coming together with a group of people, agreeing upon goals, and then accomplishing them, succeeding. And I believe that that breeds more success. I believe that we can create sustainable, successful teams by creating an environment where teams can win. The first step in creating that environment is to build the team. When Herb Brooks was appointed the head coach of the U.S. Olympic hockey team in 1980, everyone thought he would go around the country selecting marquee players from each position, but he didn't. He actually assembled his team from a group of relatively unknown players, all college players, but these guys knew how to play together as a team. They had defense, they had scoring, they had goaltending, they had coaching, they had tenacity, they had the whole package, something the Russians realized only a few minutes too late. And those of us who lived through that era will never forget the chant, USA. When assessing the completeness of your own team, there's a tool that you can use. It's called the Belbin test. It requires each team member to answer a series of questions, and then those questions reveal the type of role that that person tends to play in a team setting. For example, there's a shaper, who's the person who tends to keep the team on track, marching towards their goal and not going off on a tangent. There's a plant. This is a person who is full of ideas, and every once in a while, one of those really sticks. There's a resource investigator, somebody who's really good at going inside and outside the organization to pull together resources needed to accomplish the task. And then there's the all-important finisher. Critical element to any team, this person's really good at finishing out the fine details needed to make sure that that action sticks. Now, there are 9 different roles prescribed by the Belbin test, but that doesn't mean you have to have 9 people on your team. In fact, most people play 2 or even 3 different roles. But if you don't have all of those roles represented on your team, then you need to think about how you're going to close that gap. Are you going to bring more people onto your team? Or is somebody on that team going to step up and fulfill that role? So equally important in understanding how complete your team is, the Belbin test helps everyone understand what their role is on the team and what everyone else's role is. That really changes the way you work together in your team. Having created the team, the next step is empowerment. It's really important that every person on that team owns the success or failure of that team. Each person on that team should be encouraged, actually required, to speak up, speak their mind, and do everything they can to create the highest quality product for that team. But when that team emerges from behind closed doors, everyone on that team is united and aligned around the strategy and what their role is in accomplishing that task. They own the success or failure of the team. Having empowered your team, it's time to create the strategy. And this is done with your team. It's the team's strategy to own and to create and to communicate. Now, strategy is one of the most overused words in the business language. We have a strategy for growing sales. We have a strategy for cutting costs. We're gonna cut out the competition, conquer this market. But you know, without a well thought out critical SWOT analysis, no strategy is complete. A SWOT analysis involves looking internally at your company, at its strengths and weaknesses, and externally at its opportunities and threats. Your strengths might include access to low-cost labor or raw materials, or perhaps you have a technological innovation, a patent, or trademark. Weaknesses might mean high cost of materials, labor, perhaps it's a lack of capacity. Opportunities are usually looking outside of your organization at the marketplace and involve opportunities for growth. There are several different ways to segment your market and identify areas of opportunity for growth. For example, a geographic expansion, or perhaps it's a new product line. Maybe it's an innovation that one of your suppliers makes available to you. Threats, on the other hand, come from the competition. This is where your competitors are using their strengths to come after your weaknesses. What piece of your pie are they trying to take? You combine your strengths and your opportunities to create offensive plays, strategies that are going to lead to expanding your market share and increasing profitability. You look at your weaknesses and your threats, and combine those to create defensive plays. How are you going to keep what you got and keep the competitors from eating away at your share or your profits? Having completed that strategy, it's time to communicate that. If we look at the sport of rowing, there's a position known as the coxswain. The coxswain is a person that sits at the back of the boat, but he alone is looking forward. He's the only person who has his eye on the goal of the team. The team depends upon him to steer that ship so that they travel the least possible distance and accomplish their goal as soon as possible. The organization depends on the leader, the leadership team, to identify where they're going. How do you take that strategy, turn it into a very clear vision of where you're going and how you're going to get there? The other role of the coxswain is to control the engine of the boat. Now, the engine of the boat is represented by the other eight members of the team that are doing the rowing. The coxswain does this by signaling a stroke count to the first person in the boat, and each of the other team members follows that stroke. The coxswain can turn up the stroke count, and he will keep an eye on the competition, look at the environment, the stream, the current, and determine what's necessary for that team to win. In fact, that team depends on him to let them know what it takes to win. Likewise, your organization and leadership team are looking towards you to help them understand just what's necessary. Where are we behind? Where are we doing well? Where do we need to put more effort? The best way to do that, I found, is a simple color-coded scoreboard, taking no more than 10 metrics that represent the way that your strategy will be achieved, and then providing regular feedback, at least on a monthly basis, of how you're doing for those metrics. So for example, if you're not hitting the metrics, the color is red. If you're close but not quite there, it's yellow. And if you're achieving your objective, it's green. Having communicated the results and provided feedback regularly throughout the year, there's only one thing left to do, and that's celebrate success. It's critical that for closure of the team, that you celebrate the success that's been achieved. It's equally important that you recognize the high performers. They have to be recognized across the organization for the accomplishments and their contributions to the goal. The cycle continues as we rebuild the team for the next iteration, and you do that by building your bench. We do this by creating tomorrow's leaders. Taking this model and exposing this to tomorrow's leaders and having them lead smaller teams in the organization. This exercise grows the person, and when we grow the person, we grow the leader, and that strengthens tomorrow's leadership team. In summation, I believe that we can build long-term sustainable success by creating an environment where teams can win. There are these critical elements that are necessary, and most of you might be thinking, well, I'm doing most of that, but if you're not doing it all, then it's not going to be sustainable. So I ask yourself to go home and look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you doing everything you possibly can to create an environment where your teams can win? If not, you know what to do. Just do it.